This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Good news, bad news.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning. It is the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we start our trading day. Let's just get it over with. Markets are down big time right now. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ both down nearly 2.5% already, just 20 minutes into the trading day. The Dow down about 2%, 186 points, trading now at 91.29. European shares are lower right now. Major markets down more than 1.5%. The Paris CAC 40 down 2.5%. And over in Asia, the Nikkei and Hang Seng closed much lower today, down more than 3%. That's despite the Japanese economy today reporting a touch of growth last quarter. Let's bring in Sam Stovall. He's chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research, sort of our market psychologist for the day, joining us live from New York this morning. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve. And I like that version of stormy weather in the background.
Yeah, there you go. Well, things are really down today. And what's going on here? Japan sees growth and markets across the board are tanking.
Well, I think that the investors have to realize that bull markets don't go straight up, that typically you have to digest some of the gains along the way. And I think we took too many bites before swallowing, and that's why the S&P was up 48% since the March 9th low, and we really just need to digest some of these gains, and that's what we're doing.
So digest gains, are you saying like a lot of this stuff is built into the market?
Well, what I mean is that we probably got a little bit too far ahead of ourselves. The market went up too quickly, too high, and that really we now have to digest some of those gains. Traders are taking profits. But I think longer term, the market is in a new bull market.
So we've got news this morning, some good news from the manufacturing sector over in New York State. It moved into positive territory in August. Now, this means growth for the first time since last spring. Is that a big deal or not?
It's another confirming factor, in my opinion, that will probably point to a positive GDP growth in the third quarter of this year and then another positive one in the fourth quarter next year and about a 1.5% gain expected for all of 2010. So green shoots, but not very large saplings at this point.
So we're talking about, some recovery going on here toward the latter part of the year.
Exactly. So the our expectation is that the recession will probably be called dead either in August or September.
All right. Sam Stovall, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. The New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo this morning is expected to file a lawsuit against the brokerage Charles Schwab. Today's Wall Street Journal reports the suit is about getting access to money, and Schwab apparently isn't the only one who's in trouble. Let's bring in Marketplace's Alisa Roth. She's joining us live, also from New York. Hi, Alisa.
Good morning.
So what's this lawsuit all about?
Well, the suit will probably allege that Schwab misled investors. The brokerage supposedly told people they could get their money out of a certain kind of investment anytime they wanted to, but that's turned out to be completely not true.
And what kind of investments are we talking about here?
They're called auction rate securities.
What is an auction rate security?
Well, they're an investment tool that gives the issuer a way to borrow money for a long time but pay short-term interest rates. So those are obviously lower rates. The way this is supposed to work is that interest rates will get reset periodically at auctions, hence the name.
Right.
And theoretically, at least, investors can sell the securities at those regular auctions and take their money out whenever they want to.
So what happened then?
Well, the problem is you can only sell those securities if somebody else is willing to buy them. And last year, the market for them pretty much froze up, and so the investors were just stuck. The lawsuit says, or will probably say anyway, that Schwab didn't warn investors about the risk of that happening. But Schwab says that nobody could have predicted that it would happen and that it was misled about the risk. And as you said before, Schwab's not the only one who's gotten in trouble for this. It's just that most of the other players, so places like Goldman Sachs and Citigroup, mm-hmm. have already agreed to pay investors back.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us from our bureau in New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, August 17th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, will hand over the names of thousands of its American clients to settle a tax evasion case. That's according to reports in the Swiss press. Now, tax experts say the case has damaged one of Switzerland's most prized possessions, bank secrecy. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The United States and UBS are expected to reveal the details of the settlement later this week, but two Swiss newspapers claim they have a pretty good idea about the deal. They say that UBS will hand over the names of up to 5,000 American account holders suspected of dodging taxes. Switzerland is insisting the deal does not require it to change its domestic law, so its bank secrecy remains intact. Stephen Platt, a London-based lawyer, is skeptical about that claim.
It's slightly disingenuous to say that banking secrecy remains intact at the same time that you're handing over the details of 5,000 account holders.
The U.S. had been seeking the names of 52,000 American account holders. It reportedly settled for less because it was worried about pushing UBS over the edge and triggering another financial crisis. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Some new rules for credit card issuers go into effect later this week. They'll have to give you more advance notice of when the bill comes due or when a rate hike is planned. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
The new Credit Card Act is short for Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure. It doesn't spell out who needs to be more accountable and responsible, but there's no doubt who the new disclosure provisions are aimed at, the lenders.
Credit card issuers will now have to send the bill 21 days before the bill is due, which is about a week better than it was.
Consumer Action's Ruth Susswine says card issuers will also be required to give 45 days notice, 30 days more than before, if they decide to raise rates or make other significant changes in terms. Susswine says lenders are trying to get ahead of the new law. They've already been raising rates and imposing various new fees, and there's nothing to stop them.
They have the freedom they always had.
Until most of the new rules go into effect next year, she says cardholders need to be more alert than ever.
We suggest that consumers read every piece of material that their card issuer sends and be on the lookout for these kinds of changes.
Card issuers say the new rules will make it harder to get credit and they'll have to raise rates even for their most creditworthy customers. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The price of gas is going up. That's probably not good news for motorists, but it is for the people who maintain our streets and highways. Road repairs are funded through taxes on gasoline. The feds add about 18 cents a gallon. States and local governments tack on more. They're all worried about what's going to happen to that revenue as more people buy hybrids and plug-in electric cars and rely less on gasoline. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports from Oregon, the search is on for a new method of taxing motorists.
I started this story by getting in my Toyota Prius and driving about an hour south on I-5 to the state capitol, where I went to see Jim Witte of the Oregon Department of Transportation.
I just drove from Portland to Salem, took just about exactly a gallon of gas, since I get about 46 miles to the gallon.
That's great for the environment. It's just that if a lot of people start doing that with highly fuel-efficient vehicles, the revenues for the roads start dropping off because people aren't paying gas tax. If you want to keep the roads up, we got to find a solution.
Witte is in charge of finding that solution in Oregon. His office did a pioneering study of 300 drivers whose vehicles were wired to pay a mileage tax. Every time they pulled up to the pump, a Wi-Fi receiver logged how far they'd driven. The tax was then added to their bill. They could be charged a higher rate for driving during rush hour. The main concern of the Oregon drivers? Privacy. Congress has now funded a nationwide study of drivers from Wichita to Albuquerque to Miami. University of Iowa researcher John Kuhl will be gauging how willing Americans are to having Uncle Sam sit on their dashboard.
Our cell phones that we all carry around in our pockets are certainly implicitly tracking where we go and providing information about our behavior in much more explicit ways than a system like this would. Yet we're much more likely to accept that compromise of our privacy.
Because, says Kuhl, we get cell phone service in return. A system that tracked real-time mileage using GPS could offer services that motorists might want. Oregon's Jim Witte says that could outweigh privacy objections.
The devices ought to be able to do other things than raise revenue, to make their driving easier. For example, predicting the time on a specific route for getting home, identifying congestion and alternative routes.
If politicians do eventually roll out a mileage tax, it won't happen overnight. Revenues from the gas tax are now flat. They're not expected to fall precipitously until a lot more fuel-efficient vehicles are out on the road around the year 2020. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're a big air guitar strumming Kiss fan, I hope you don't have a problem with Walmart, because that's where you'll have to go to buy their new CD. Sonic Boom is due to be released October 6th. It'll include new music, some re-recorded tunes, and a live DVD. Now, Walmart's done this before with classic rockers The Eagles, Foreigner, and AC/DC. Maybe you can find that new CD in the aisle next to 1978. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
When it comes to unemployment, rural states look to have it pretty good, but looks can be deceiving.
And the unemployment rates are low by comparison, but those are disguised because there are individuals out there that would be more than willing to take one of these jobs. But to be counted in unemployment, you have to be out of work looking for work.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Low unemployment, lower spirits. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.